Yeah, there's lots of podcasts out there, but they all talk about the same thing, the same way, over and over and over and over again. Are you tired of the normal podcast? Are you tired of the same old thing? Then step out of the normal zone and step into the Roni Zone. Roni Zone Radio is a place where we look at all kinds of different things, from God to Star Wars and everything, and I mean everything in between. We look at it from a lot of different angles. We have people with different points of view that discuss things that you may never have thought about before. So get rid of the normal shows. Get rid of the normal podcasts. And step into the Roni Zone. Roni Zone Radio, a very, very, very different podcast. Roni Zone Radio is available at jrdonline.com. Okay, we are rolling. I'm here with John Wilkerson, the host of the Jesus Geek podcast. You are from the New York area.
Yes, I'm in upstate New York.
You get real winters.
unlike
here in California. You guys are serious about your winters.
Yeah, we can get, I think the most, well, I remember one Christmas we were up at my mother-in-law's and we got so much snow, we had about 18 people out at her house, stuck in the house because we got about two feet of snow in about 8 hours. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we get real winters up here. Although last year wasn't so bad, it wasn't too bad. But I suspect that this year it's going to be made up for.
Well, I bumped into you through Taylor Kent and Dave and Jen Avila and their friends, and I just really wanted to have an interview with you, talk to you a little bit, and you know, introduce you to the folks that listen to my show. So. I think one of the coolest things is not only are you a Christian, but you're a geek Christian. When did you first discover that you enjoyed geekdom?
I guess I was maybe 8 or 9 years old. My dad was in the military. We were living over in Germany at the time, and he came home with a Commodore VIC-20. And he brought that thing home, and you know, you just kind of plugged it in and hooked it up to your television. It had a cassette deck for playing back your programs on, no discs at that time. And he also brought home a copy of Run magazine. And I opened that magazine up, and it had all these programs that you could type into your computer, save to tape. Usually what it ended up being was, you know, a game, some cheesy game of some kind. And I was hooked from there. It was pretty early on. Unlike some of the folks who were probably in their mid to late 20s, there was a time that I can remember when I didn't have a PC in my house. So, you know, I'm sure you remember a time when there weren't PCs in everyone's house. But now it's kind of just there and you grow up around it. But for anyone who I would say who's 30 or over, there's probably a time when they remember exactly when they got a computer. And that was the time for me, and that was really kind of what hooked me was at an early age.
Well, I remember when I was in junior high, they had a computer that was bigger than any Showtime grill or – I mean, it was big. but they would loan it out, and it used a phone modem, and you set the phone down in the little receptacle.
Right,
and,
coupler.
Yep, and you dial the number, and that's how you connected to the high school bridge, I guess. Now, let's see, Run Magazine, that's the one that was written in BASIC, right?
Yeah, all the programs were written in BASIC. Run was specifically for Commodore computers.
Okay.
I think eventually they branched out into, like, the Apple and the Atari computers, but I think, for the most part, everything that was in there was pretty much aimed towards the Commodore brand computers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I remember only certain folks had computers, and we were pretty lucky. We at the school, because they had a computer lab, and it was pretty forward thinking back in the late '70s. So '77, they had a bank of them, and you could go in and play an ASCII version of Star Trek. And it was, you know, pretty pivotal time, you know, Star Wars coming out and, you know, computers. And I was in, I was in San Diego at the time. So that was a pretty cool time. So let's see. You're a man of many talents. Let's see. You give us an idea of who you are, though. What makes you you?
The best way I always like to describe myself, I guess I can do it in as few words as possible, is, I mean, first and foremost, I am a Christian.
Sure.
And I think that my relationship with Christ, I do my best to make it the first thing in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as humans, we're so fallible, and we often, sometimes it ends up on the back burner. But for the most part, I try and be a good servant of God, not necessarily try and be a good person at church, you know, because necessarily being a good churchgoer may not necessarily make you a good Christian.
Sure.
You know, second of all, I'm a husband. I have a lovely wife. Mm. We've been married for 10 years. I have enjoyed it. It's been wonderful. I'm a father. I'm a father to seven. Big family man.
You have seven children?
I have seven children, yes.
Holy cow.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So I stay busy. I stay very busy.
Okay.
And then from there, it kind of branches out into a bunch of different hobbies. I'm into martial arts.
Hmm.
I do some model rocketry on the side. I'm into astronomy, amateur astronomy, podcasting, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely a geek when it comes to many, many areas of my life. It's funny, you know, before I got married and before I had children, I watched a lot of TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched a lot of movies, and if it was science fiction or fantasy, I made time to watch it. And really, no matter how bad it was, I just wanted to watch it. But as my life has kind of filled up with other things, I shake my head sometimes at some of the the time that's wasted on these things. You know, I was a gamer. I built my own computers. I bought a PlayStation when they first came out, the first PlayStation.
Mm.
And gamed a lot, bought a lot of games, traded games, copied games, you know, all that stuff. Now, I mean, I don't even have a gaming console in my house because we just don't have the time in our family.
Sure.
You know, we're so busy doing other things. If I had the opportunity, I definitely would because I mean, these things still kind of draw me and attract me, but I just have to kind of, you know, you set some priorities, you make sure you put the first things first and let everything else, if there's time for it, so be it. I do a lot and I try and squeeze as much into my schedule that's possible without having any negative effects on my family life.
Right.
You know, I mean, outside of God, my family comes first, and my wife's pretty vocal about letting me know if I'm doing too much podcasting or if I'm getting too involved in something.
Mm-hmm.
She's pretty good about setting me straight because I have one of those addictive personalities.
Mm-hmm. I think they pass out those addictive personalities when boys are born. They say, here
you
go.
I think so.
Yeah, here you got everything else, and then one more thing, here you go. You're a pretty humble guy, but I want to say this. I think the one thing that I really appreciate about you is that you're a Christian, but you're a rounded individual. A lot of Christians, I think, kind of put themselves in this box. I go to church, I read the Bible, and I pray. And I listen to Focus on the Family, and that's really my life. And the rest of the time, I run from the bad things, and I do the good things. And,
yeah.
And it's really refreshing to hear a husband and a father and a geek who loves God and can put the whole thing together, and it's not, to me, lopsided. It is a very balanced life, and I really think that's the coolest thing about you.
Well, and there was a time where there wasn't that balance in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a time where my focus was, you know, pretty much always on the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
And our mind should always be thinking about God.
Sure.
and how we can serve him, how we can best serve him. But I'm sure you've heard the phrase, there are some people who are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very into how much knowledge and information about the Bible can I stick into my head,
mm-hmm.
and living in this kind of Christian bubble.
Mm.
That I didn't really have a way to relate to people who weren't part of the church.
Yeah.
And I think what happened is I got married. And once you get married, you start meeting people that your wife knows. And to be honest, as a single guy, I had some friends who weren't Christians, but we all had this kind of main thing in common. We played role-playing games together. And that was really, I guess, outside of church, that was probably the one thing that I did that a lot of Christians look down on. Oh, you play those role-playing games, those satanic role-playing games, you know? And it was a good way for me to relate to people around me. But outside of that, everything was kind of in this Christian bubble. And having to then kind of move out of that from being a single guy and having to – my wife is the youngest of seven, so she has a lot of siblings and then their family. So having to interact with them on a regular basis kind of started waking me up, sort of. God really changed things in my heart and in my mind, because I was one of those people who was – I know what I know. This is what I believe about the Bible, and you can't convince me otherwise. I've been to Bible school, so I know this stuff. You're wrong. I'm right. And God really kind of took me on this journey. There's more important things than shoving your doctrine down someone's throat, you know, rather than trying to build a relationship with somebody and kind of lead them to God that way. So God really changed my heart and my attitude towards non-Christians, and I think that really kind of helped round me out, because before I really didn't want to have anything to do with non-Christians. You know, I really felt like, except for the few friends that I had, I didn't want to have anything else to do with them, because all they were going to do was bring me down. And I think that was because, quite honestly, I had a weak faith. If the people around you were bringing you down, then more than likely your walk with God isn't as strong as it should be. And so if you don't have the own your own personal convictions to stand up in that situation and say, you know, despite what I believe and despite what they believe, we can have a relationship that's cordial, that's friendly. If you don't have that strength of character, you're not going to be able to pull that off. You just hear too much these days about people, they're in their little Christian bubble, and anything outside of it is not good.
Right.
No matter what it is. No matter what it is. And I just want to say, well, you know, why don't you move to Pennsylvania, buy a farm, sell your car, start riding around in a buggy.
Sure.
You know? Sure. I mean, the Amish are great folks, and they worship God and they love God, but I think they're isolationists. They kind of isolate themselves, and I don't think they're making any converts. They're sustaining their own population, but they're not really converting anyone.
Sure.
So the question is that productive? And they have to answer that for themselves. I'm not the judge of that. I think God is the judge of that. And I'm not seeking to judge them on that. I'm probably using them as a poor example, but an example nonetheless.
Well, not to be mean, but they'll never hear you. So that's the comedian in me coming out. So sorry, Amish people, if somebody can get the message to them. I have been on a similar journey as you. To me, my opinion is, I think when God saves you, you are a babe in Christ. And I think that God needs to spend a lot of time helping you walk, helping you talk, helping you stand, and walking you through those types of situations. And I think there should be a time when you should really focus completely on His Word, completely His people, His work, to kind of get you in the mindset of what a Christian is. But I think there is a point when the book learning, quote-unquote, needs to stop, and the tests need to come. And that means you have to walk out of the church and walk out what you've learned in the world. And it can be a scary place for a lot of people. But I think that's where, if God is true in the church, then God is also true out of the church. And, you know, you mentioned a lot of situations that I've seen in my own life and other people's lives. It's just the salesmanship that Christianity can become. It's all about the sale and the sinner's prayer, and it's not about connection. And it's not about living out your life so that people can actually see it and feel it instead of just hearing it. So I think the older you get, you kind of hit that point. And I think you hit the point with your family. And based on, you know, what I see in you, it's really made you a relevant Christian instead of a Christian that knows all the Bible verses, that can score good on the quiz in Sunday school. I think there's a point where we need to interact with the people in the world. There's a story in the Bible about the king and the servants, and the king said, "Occupy till I return." And to me, that means that we need to be not only about the Father's business, but we need to be about the business of being a good citizen. I mean, the Bible says that we need to honor the king and be a citizen of this planet which we're on. So there's a point where we need to live things out and be friends with people that are not saved. How can we reach them if we're not friends with them? I don't know. That makes no sense to me. It's interesting that Jesus taught his disciples, showed his disciples, and then said, go and get them. Go find them. Go befriend them. Go live in their town. Get to know them. And then talk to them. He didn't say, now listen, go find them and drag them back to the synagogue. We are going to have a quartet singing. We're going to have a great speaker at the synagogue. Just grab them and drag them into the synagogue. He said, no, go and be amongst them. So it's interesting to live out your faith in 2008. It's never a dull moment. And I think one of the things that I wondered is, you have a great podcast. What is it like to be a Christian podcaster?
From around the globe into your living room, it's the Jen and Dave Show. Rabbit trails are our business, and business is good. You can find us at thejenanddaveshow.com.
Hi, this is John Wilkerson, host of the Jesus Geek podcast, which can be found over at jesusgeek.info. Jesus Geek is a technology podcast hosted by a Christian, geek, amateur astronomer, and homeschooling dad. Updated weekly, it features news about technology, gadgets, computers, both PC and Mac, and tutorials. You'll hear about technology not from an insider, but from someone on the outside looking in. It's a different perspective that I think you'll find refreshing. In addition, each podcast contains a spiritual element, whether it's a reading from Scripture or devotional, or an exposition on Scripture by the host. I hope you'll join me every week at www.jesusgeek.info. Thanks for sticking me in your ears.